Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also, while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Heavenly Father, bless our teaching tonight of this portion of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help every one of the young ladies and young men to pay close attention tonight to what's taught. And then, Lord, thank you. Lord, I want to say that they're still, although they're rare, and you say because they're rare, they're valuable. Lord, thank God that virtue still lives, even in this culture where it just seems like that the young ladies, for the most part, have been taught to go mad as far as chasing the image and the character traits of the strange woman. Lord, I would thank you, dear God, that they're still ladies, and they're still Christian ladies that are holding the line and doing what's right. Bless them, dear God. Please reward them for that. And Lord, may they always be the object of our respect and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read this. Peter opens the book with these verses. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so one of the things that Peter wrote here is that I believe every born-again Christian has a calling. God has called us to glory, and God has called us to virtue. The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. I can't read this chapter without smiling. I'm encouraged. I mean that. I'm encouraged. Say, preacher, when you read these points and look at this, do you find it in the culture? Well, yeah, like I said, sometimes I think that it's certainly not there as we'd hoped it would be. But let me say this, folks. When this was written, it was rare. Who can find, this is this opening statement, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Young lady, let me say this. If you'll aspire to the attributes in Proverbs chapter 31, you know what? You will be the rare exception. The rare exception. Most girls don't care about this stuff. Most girls will disdain the attributes that's taught here, but that's okay. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like the Word of God and let it be the guide of our lives. And so we have studied, ladies, in all fairness, we've studied a lot of men through Proverbs. So don't get your hackles up that we're spending a couple weeks on ladies here, okay? Most of the time I've said, let's look at this kind of man or that kind of man or this kind of man. But Proverbs chapter 31 ought to be, I think, a precious sanctuary. Let me just give you, young ladies, some advice. I would sneak often to this chapter. I would look at it. I would read through it. I would pray through it. I would set these attributes as a goal for my life. and I would not be overwhelmed by it. I would not be discouraged by it. Say, it just seems like there's so much to live up to. Well, if you're going to do right, there's always a lot to live up to. You see, folks, the easy way is never the good way. And you can surrender and say, well, these things are no longer important. But again, that's why those who will pay the price are rare and valuable in the eyes of the Lord. For her price is far above rubies. I think there's 12 traits that I've written down, so obviously we can't spend much time on any of them, but let's just teach and talk our way through this chapter, and then this will, I think, help you and give you a list or some reminders as you read it through later on, the virtues of the virtuous woman. Number one, the virtuous woman is a wonderful, trustworthy companion to her husband. This is good that we happen to teach this. I didn't really time this way, but that this falls after last Sunday night's message. The virtuous woman is a wonderful, and here's the key word here, trustworthy companion to her husband. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth, here it is, safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Why? Because she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is her heart. That's her goal. She understands original intent. She understands that this husband that God has given her, that she was made for him and to help him and to be a blessing both for companionship and to be a help to him. And she takes that as a very sacred duty. She is trustworthy. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I have worked when I was working in the world and working daily in the world, and you men probably could give similar stories. But I could name right off the top of my, I've sat in my office and real quickly thought through different men that I've worked with through the years. And it is not uncommon to work with a man in the world who at some point will express to you, if he gets to know you and trust you a little bit, maybe open up a little bit about his marriage, will tell you, I just don't trust my wife anymore. I just don't trust my wife. Remember a young man that I worked with? I wouldn't tell you where or time frame or whatever. But I remember he would be get some on some days he'd get very agitated. And I tried to build a friendship and a relationship with him. He wasn't a saved young man. And one day I caught him after work. He was heading to his truck. And I just said, hey, come talk to me a minute. And I said, all day long, something's been bugging you. And I said, listen, if you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to talk about it. But And he just said, you got a minute? And he's, and by the way, young guy, and hadn't been married that long. And he told me, I mean, literally 6-7 months into his marriage, found out that his wife, while he was at work, was carrying on with another guy. And he said, you know, I can't come to work without thinking, what is she doing? Where's she at and what she's doing? Now, I'm going to tell you something. What a terrible thing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And I remember just hurting for this young man. I got in my vehicle and headed home, and I thought, you know what? I've never one time in my life, at that point, never one time in my life, ever had 1 ounce of worry when I left my house about, you know, wonder what my wife's going to do behind my back. Yeah, my heart safely trusts in my wife. Now, let me just say this. You know what? What good is for the goose is good for the gander. Most quality traits are good for both male and female, no matter what context the Bible puts them in. That lady shouldn't have to worry when I leave the house, is my husband going to be faithful to me today? Is my husband going to be flirting with somebody? Is my husband going to be trying to carry on with somebody? My husband will be trying to get somebody else's attention. She shouldn't have to live with that. What a horrible thing to do to your wife. What a horrible thing to do to your husband. To treat them in that regard and put them in that situation. You know what? You ought to give the assurance, make sure you give assurances and live your life in an unquestionable fashion, and so that you don't put your husband or your wife through that. But the virtuous woman is trustworthy, wonderful because of her determination to be a blessing to her husband. Trustworthy because she'll never give her husband any reason to doubt her loyalty. She can be counted upon. Young lady, you can choose to join the ranks of the fickle and flirtatious females of our day, or you can begin now in your youth to develop the virtues of loyalty and chastity. Save your heart for the person of God's choosing. Then be good to him all the days of your life. And you will be a precious, precious, and valuable young lady. Number two, the virtuous woman is industrious. I'll have you look at a couple, several verses scattered through here. Notice in verse 13, I like the word seeketh and willingly here. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but sometimes, and if we're not careful, young ladies, you might get confused. Of femininity, preacher, does femininity and hard work go hand in hand? Absolutely, absolutely. There's nothing unfeminine about rolling your sleeves up and jumping in and getting busy and doing what needs to be done. She seeketh it. She seeketh it. She's looking for things to keep herself busy. She's looking for things to do. Femininity is no excuse to avoid work. Just the opposite is true. A Christian lady heeds well the warnings found in the Bible against slothfulness. We talked about the slothful man and those attributes. It is ladylike to jump in, roll up your sleeves, and work. It's ladylike to do it. Always look for opportunities to serve. Always be industrious. Always be the first one that notices what needs to be cleaned up, picked up, straightened up, and just jump in there and do it. And that is a quality of the virtuous woman. Number three, the virtuous woman is financially wise. Financially wise. And again, several verses support this idea of a virtuous woman being very careful with money. Verse 14, interesting here. Notice this. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Now, you think about a merchant. A merchant is somebody that travels a little extra distance to get a good price. A merchant buys something wholesale. Okay, buys something wholesale. So if a merchant would go the extra distance to secure the best prices for quality goods. And I think one of the things, a young lady, and moms, you can help with this. Many of you are doing this. Great, great training. Take your young ladies grocery shopping with you, and don't just let them tag around and you know, daydream, but get them involved with it. And sometimes get them saying, okay, here, I've got some choices here, and I want you to, you're going to make the choice now. And notice the different sizes and the different containers and the different prices, and work with them a little bit. Why did mom choose this one, do you think? Get them thinking. One of the things, and I was laughing with somebody here a while back about this, but my grandpa Ogle, it was an adventure to go to the store with him. It was an adventure to go shopping with my grandpa Ogle, and what he would do in his old age is he would, they had a little list. Matter of fact, we're doing that. I don't know what that means, but he would have a list, and they would write down things on the refrigerator of things that they needed. Well, about every other day, not because they didn't, you know, fuel was pretty cheap back when I was staying with Grandpa, okay, but he'd get bored, he's retired, and so about every other day while I'd stay my week in the summer with him, we'd go to the store, and he'd have his list. And man alive, I'm going to tell you something. When he went there, you talk about bargain hunter, you talk about, I mean, you never seen anybody. And I mean, if I went with him, I better be on my toes. I better know my math. Because, I mean, he would sit there and drill you, you know. I'm thinking, just grab a jar of peanut butter. I don't care, you know. But he's explaining why this one isn't a good deal and that one, why it'd be better to get this. And my grandpa Ogle would go up to the cash register with whatever, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes 8, 10, 12 items. And he would have, by the time she rang it up, he would have the exact dollars and the exact change, wouldn't he, Mom? He'd have the exact, to the penny. And on that thing, and he'd already figured the percentage of tax, what the tax was, and the percent, I mean, to the penny. And God help that cashier if what came up on that cash register was not the same as what was on that counter, because I can tell you who was right and who was wrong, and it wasn't Marvin Ogle. Marvin Ogle was not wrong about it. And but at a very early age, he made me aware of that. What good training. I mean, you know, I'm a price comparer to this day. I'm afraid that the ghost of Marvin Ogle will come up and get me if I don't get the absolute best deal that I can possibly get. A merchant's mentality. Are you thinking about that? A merchant's mentality. A merchant buys at wholesale. Sometimes a merchant, when it is feasible and wise, buys in quantities. And just teaching our young ladies, that's going to be one of your primary responsibilities later on. Okay, you're going to have to figure this out. And you're going to one of these days be handed a certain amount of money. Probably if you marry a Baptist, it won't be a lot. And you're going to have to go to the store and you're going to have to buy a week's worth of groceries with that money. And you're going to be counted on to make 21 meals that week. And guess what? You can't buy all pre-prepared food. You're not going to have the money to buy that. By the way, that's the nastiest stuff to make your husband anyway. That stuff doesn't taste good. And so you're going to have to figure some things out and do this. Proverbs 31:16. By the way, if you had a grandpa like mine, I guess. But moms, help them on that, okay? The virtuous wood, verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She gardened. Instead of buying everything, she's willing to put in the work to raise fresh produce. For the price of a handful of seed, she stocks her cupboards with nourishing homegrown fruits and vegetables. She did that. Saves her husband money. By the way, watch this. I can go to Aldi's preacher and I can buy the cans of corn $3 for $1 sometime. You know what? I go to Stoll's and I like going to Stoll's. I never get corn at Stoll's. I don't ever get corn at Stoll's. And I don't get corn at any restaurant. I don't get corn anywhere except off the cob. You know why? Because once you've had it off the cob, there ain't nothing that, I don't know where they get this other stuff. Maybe there's a little plastic kernel, corn kernel factory somewhere. I don't know. But, I will tell you this, and you know, you think about it. Now, some of you older folks are going to laugh at this because you grew up this way. But there's several times in the summer where we will sit down to a meal and everything on the table was raised right there on the Ross property. And I'm going to tell you something, that's pretty neat. Now, we think that's an odd thing, but you know, realize great-grandma and grandma, most of their meals were that way. Well, preacher, I just don't get it. It's a lot of work. I know. One of our problems is idleness. It is. It's killing us. Oh, not me. I'm just so busy. I'm just baloney. Come on, old baloney. One of these days, some of you don't want to say that, I'm going to follow you around. Ladies, you need to stay busy. I mean, if you got a couple hours on the computer, you got time to do that every day, you're not busy. I like this. I mean, you're not busy. Okay? Why don't you plant something? Well, I would if my husband would. It doesn't say anything about her husband doing anything. Come on. I mean, where's he at? I'm looking. Okay. You can't pull a ripcord? You never started a tiller? But I'm dainty. Not the virtuous woman. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She's a worker. Amen. You can hoe a garden in a skirt. You can till a garden in a skirt. That lady does it. I know, I'm sitting in the backyard drinking tea, watching her do it. You know. So I can bear witness to it, man. Hey, you missed a spot. You know. Then she comes at me with the hoe, and I decide I need to help her, you know. Come on. I'm trying to be nice here, but boy, this generation coming up, I don't figure them. Too much idle time, too much laziness, too much, let's find every shortcut we can. Why? So you got time to do what? Okay, and honestly, you need to stay busy. You need to stay busy. Proverbs 13, verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. But there's a point here that I want to make. Her candles goeth not out by nine. The cheapest choice. Notice this, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. There's just some practical, wise financial things that are taught here. Yeah, like the merchants, she'll go an extra distance to get a better price, and she'll buy wholesale, and she'll buy quantity sometime to get a price. Then she'll grow her own. But notice this, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. And so understand this, the cheapest choice is not always the best choice. Okay, so it's not a matter of sometimes just find the cheapest deal, because sometimes you buy something cheap and guess what it is? Cheap, yeah. And so she's not just looking at spending the least amount of money. You can buy something and think you save money and then it doesn't last and you have to go buy a better quality one. Notice these little things that are right here that just these wonderful little teaching things in the scriptures. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. Notice that. Delivereth girdles unto the merchant. The virtuous woman, I like to say, is a stay-at-home entrepreneur. In addition to her bargain shopping, her gardening, her wise purchases, she uses her homemaking skills to earn an income. What a blessing to her household. Not only does she manage well her household budget, she finds a way to add to the family income. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And all of that, she didn't have to go work for a corporation somewhere. All of that, she didn't have to become a career woman. And so just be careful you don't get caught up, folks, in this. Here's the example in Scripture. So financially wise. Many men that are guilty as this as women, so I'm not picking on anybody. But I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of women just literally drive their husband and their family into financial ruin. And if you are undisciplined in this area of your life, you need to get a hold of it. Okay, this whole idea of, well, you know what? My husband just needs to work more overtime, so I got more money to blow. That's ridiculous. It really is. Some of you ladies are going to stand beside a casket and say goodbye to your husband at early grave because you know what? He had to work extra to pay off your foolishness. Get it under control. Get it under control, okay? Number four, the virtuous woman is well skilled in homekeeping. Again, scattered all through this portion of Scripture is, again, original intent. The Bible does say that a woman, God designed a wife to be a keeper at home, a keeper of the home. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 19, she layeth her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now she takes a huge takes upon herself the responsibility of the home. This is huge. This is big in her heart, big in her mind. Every young lady needs to develop the character and the skills that you will use daily as a wife and a mother. In the maintenance of a home, these are important things. Learn to cook. Learn to cook nutritious, money-saving meals from scratch. Y'all know what it means from scratch, okay? Learn to sew. Kind of a lost art, really, a lost and dying art in our culture. Learn from your mother how to manage a family. I mean, a good mother is watching over the ways of her household. She's organizing in the morning the sending off of the husband, and she's at the same time managing and getting ready to get the kids ready for the day and all that needs to be done throughout the day and all of these things. And she looks well to the ways of her household. She sees to it that her husband is helped. She manages the children. She sees to their individual need. Now notice this. She riseth also while it is yet night. You're not going to do that and sleep in till 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You're just not going to do it. Her day starts long before most people are stirring. She's the one that wakes the household up. She's getting things going. She's got her going, okay? Her candle goeth not out by night. And the honest truth is, long days are not not unfamiliar to a virtuous woman. And so, homekeeping skills. I think we made a mistake, and I know we made a mistake. I know we made a mistake when we got our young ladies all involved in sports. Just give me a minute here, but. All of the time that used to be taken with mom and grandma at home learning the things they need to learn to manage a family, all of a sudden these are lost skills. They're just lost skills. And I don't care how many trophies you have, basketball and volleyball and whatever else, your tennis or whatever else you're involved in, you know what? After the honeymoon's over, he's going to want biscuits and gravy. And you can run in there and pick up a volleyball and just dazzle him with it. And, show him how you can twirl it and spin it and spike it. And when you get done, he's going to say, that was great, but I'm still hungry. and so it's so much of our young people's growing up years, and I'm not just saying this with the girls, it's true with the guys. So much of what we as a culture have decided is important to involve our children in has nothing to do with a real-life successful family, the realities of life. It just doesn't have much to do with it. And so let's rethink that. That's why, by the way, that's why we don't follow the culture. That's why we don't dictate it. That's why when somebody says, you know what, I just wish Blessed Hope had this because Shack and Mac does. I'm not trying to be Shack and Mac. I'm no interest in being Shack and Mac. Matter of fact, whatever Shack and Mac is, I try to do the exact opposite of. I'm not interested. Why would I want to follow the world's philosophies? And so don't get caught up in that stuff. Number five, the virtuous woman is tender-hearted towards those in need. I like verse 20. This is such an excellent attribute, and I think shows such character. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Very Christ-like attribute for all of us. Guys, ladies, all of us can learn this, is that of helping those in need. If you study the life of Jesus Christ, he never bypassed an opportunity to help someone less fortunate. Now let that sink in. He never bypassed an opportunity to help somebody that was less fortunate. We see that the virtuous woman is proactive in seeking out opportunities to help others. Well, somebody comes up, knocks on my door and asks for a bowl of soup, I guess I'll give it to them. No, the Bible says she stretches out her hand. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's looking for opportunities to be a blessing. One of the greatest of all virtues to learn in your youth is that of compassionate care towards those who are truly in need. Look around your church, look around your community for people who need I don't say a handout, I always say a hand up. A hand up. Be a friend to the friendless, a provider to the poor. God blesses those who stop to bless others. Have you found that's true? Proverbs promises that in 21 verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And so look for opportunities. Look for people in need. The bus minister here provides us this. I talked to our young people about this a little bit in chapel today. But I really want parents to, would you pray about this and talk to your kids about this? We have got to get our young people more ministry-minded on Sundays. And I'm not just talking about our teens. I don't think it ought to have to start when you're seventh grade. I think it ought to start just about as soon as they can comprehend it and get it. The core group of young people, when you come on Sunday, you've got to start getting into that I'm here to serve mode. I'm here to help mode. I'm here to be a blessing mode. I'm here to set the pace. I'm here to look for somebody to be a blessing to. The membership of Blessed Hope ought to come, core membership ought to come together with the idea on Sunday from the time we get here till the time we leave. We're looking to be a blessing. We're looking to serve. We're looking for an opportunity. We're looking for somebody to encourage. Now, we had, I think, last week on the buses, 160-some now. We count workers, too, so, you know, you always knock off about 30 of that or something like that. So we had 130 people bust in last week. Don't tell me there wasn't opportunities here last Sunday for some of you young people to go over and say, hey, my name's so-and-so, you're in my class, would you like to sit with me in class today? And look for opportunities. Be aware of people. Don't just pass by young people that have a need. Don't do that. Be looking for that. And I mean it, young people. Good night. Listen to me. The kids that ought to be setting the example around here on what Christians ought to be our core group of kids here. They ought to be a blessing. They ought to be a help. They ought to be the pace setters. They ought to be the ones the other ones look to and say, boy, that's what I want to be like. And so be always tenderhearted towards those in need. Number six, the virtuous woman is modest, both modest and feminine in her attire. Proverbs 31:22. There's a lot in one little verse here. That's why, you know what, you read and study carefully everything the Bible says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. She maketh, we already talked about the sewing aspect. She maketh herself coverings. Now let's not run past that word. What's the word there? Coverings. It doesn't say clothes, does it? Doesn't say garments, does it? You think maybe that word was chosen by God on purpose? You think all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? You know, modesty is taught. It's not just Proverbs, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, that's the only verse on modesty. No, it's not. It's all through the scriptures. She maketh herself coverings. Now, where did the first time you find this idea of covering yourself? Watch this, in the Garden of Eden. You've heard me teach this, but you know who the first tailor was as far as, not this tailor, but tailor was as far as making clothes in the Bible. Who, you know, well, first of all, man tried it. And God decided what they made just didn't measure up. So God actually officially made the first garments for mankind. And when man, because of sin, realized their need to put some clothes on, they, Bible says, sewed themselves aprons of fig leaves. Now, just here's a principle if you'll get, and if you're not, if you're just determined to be a heathen, then be a heathen. But if you'll get this, and you just read the Bible, and you're not defensive about it, and you just let the truth come to you, anybody with a, listen, the King James Bible is written on an eighth grade reading level. So anybody with an eighth grade reading level can look at these words and say, okay, all right, here's what happened. Here's man's idea, fallen man's idea of modesty. Well, let's just put on basically loincloths, aprons. And God said, no, that's not going to work. And so he gave them animal skins. And I do understand that there's something very important taught there, the first shedding of the blood. But that's not the only thing taught. There's a very practical principle of dress clothing and modesty taught there. They sewed aprons. He gave them coats of animal skins. And if you look at the, if you study the word aprons, that's what it means. It means literally loincloth. You look at the word coats there, it has the idea of something that hangs down from the shoulder and covers, a covering. And so understand this. We shouldn't be shocked as Christians that fallen man's idea and standard of modesty in their eyes is far lower than God's idea. Now, come on, Christians. Are you going to follow the apron mentality of the world or the coat's standard set by God? Okay? And so if we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and before we've even got Adam and Eve out of the garden, God is dealing with the idea of modesty, then don't tell me, well, it's just, you know, this whole thing about it's not in the Bible and they're taking one verse, and that's baloney. I have studied, and if you want to know, now if you want to get on a forum with a bunch of backsliders and hear what they have to say, do it. But if you want to know what the Bible says about clothing, you can do what I've done. And that's start in Genesis and go to the book of Revelation and look at every single place in the Bible that mentions attire or garment or clothing or anything to do with it, and take all of those scriptures and put them together and see that flowing from that is a clear standard, a clear teaching when it comes to modesty and gender-specific clothing and dressing like a Christian is, and not reflecting worldliness. And so it's there, very plain for us. Well, preacher, you know what? Independent Fundamental Baptists are almost cult-like in the way they dress. Well, then all of America was in a cult in the 1950s. Okay, some of you that went to high school in the 1960s had dress check. In a public school. Okay, listen, we haven't changed. Okay, it's the world that's gone nuts. And so don't get caught up in all of that. Okay, the virtuous woman is both modest, coverings, and notice this, of tapestry, silk. Her clothing is silk and purple, feminine in her attire. If you do a study on each of these types of material, they are a very feminine material. And so in this one little verse, it's taught both modesty and femininity when it comes to women's dress. Number 7, the virtuous woman dedicates herself to making her husband a success. Right in the middle of all of these verses about the different attributes of the woman, we find verse 23. All of a sudden it shifts over to her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now notice this, verse 20, she, verse 21, she, verse 22, she, verse 23, her husband, verse 24, she. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all these things about her, there's a verse about her husband. Did God change direction? Did he lose his train of thought? Is this verse misplaced in the context? No. The idea being is this. She has dedicated herself to helping her husband be a success. That's why he's known in the gates. That's why he sits among the elders of the land. Why? Because this virtuous woman understood original intent. She gets it. Amongst her attributes is the stated fact of her husband's good reputation and godly stature, respected stature in the community. He's a respected, successful leader in his community. Much of this success he can attribute to his wife. She does her job well so that he can focus on his. She does her job well so that he can focus on his. She also pitches in and helps him with what God has called him to do. That's what being a help means. Because of these things, she's a vital ingredient to his success. The virtuous woman dedicates herself to making her husband a success. Number 8, the virtuous woman has the strength to live by. Young ladies, if you'll hear this and begin to put this together, it will help you more than anything I'm going to say tonight. The virtuous woman has the strength, the inner strength, to live by a code of honor. A code of honor. Now notice chapter 31, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor. The strength to live by a code of honor. You take strength and you take honor and you combine them. What an amazing combination. Somebody that says, I will be honorable, and has the strength to follow that code of honor, the self-discipline to follow that code of honor. That is, if you want to define virtue, that may be the closest we come to it right now. This is, the Bible says, her covering, which if you study that, literally means her protection. This is what protects her. She has a code of honor, and she exercises the strength to live by that code of honor. She's not talked out of her code of honor by somebody else. She's not talked out of it. What produces femininity? I'm going to tell you what I believe produces biblical femininity. The answer, I think, is simple. A code of honor. A Christian lady lives by Bible principle, not baseless pressure. She's not swayed by the culture, the crowd, or carnality. She studies the Bible and understands from it, gleans from it, the tenets of femininity that's taught in the Word of God, and she uses that as the basis of her code of honor. And she lives by it. Okay? It doesn't matter what the culture does, she lives by it. Doesn't matter if one of her friends stopped doing it, she lives by it. Okay? It doesn't matter if she turns 16, she still lives by it. 18, 21, she lives by it. Okay? Because she has the strength to live by a code of honor. Okay? She's not fickle. She's not blown around by every wind of doctrine. Okay? There are things she simply will not do. There's places she simply will not go. There's clothes she will not wear. There's words she will not say. Period. End of discussion. I don't care who else is involved with it. It doesn't matter. We've lost that. We've lost that in our young men. Young men, a code of honor is just as important or more important for you than it is for a young lady. You need to develop a code of honor. Femininity is not weak. Young ladies, please get this. It takes great resolve and incredible inner strength to live a godly life in an ungodly culture. Okay? Turn your back on peer pressure and turn your face towards the Lord. Live in His light. Seek first and foremost His approval. Study out the tenets of femininity, make it your code of honor. Refuse to compromise, no matter what the consequences is. Refuse to compromise. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you do that, you're going to drive other people crazy. They're going to call you a Pharisee. They're going to call you a holier than thou. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to carry on. You know why? Because they have no honor. They have no honor. And they have no strength. So it's easier to try to attack people that do than it is to have that light shined on us. And so expect it. Okay, most of the culture don't know anything about honor. They don't know anything about it. They don't know what it is to settle something according to the Word of God, then stand there and refuse to move. I mean, heaven and earth will pass away. Nope. This is it. Settled. Done. Forever. Doesn't matter. Circumstances change. Doesn't matter. Lose everything. Doesn't matter. Life's going good. I think one of the most discouraging things I'm seeing
as Christians that I think have honor, and I think they're serving God for the right reason, and then God takes them through a trial or a tribulation or a testing time, and next thing you know, they're ready to throw everything out the window because God's not fair. God's not fair. Come on. Come on. You've got to settle something at some point. You got to say, I'm going to serve God whether the sun's shining or whether it's midnight. I'm going to serve God whether it seems like I'm succeeding or seems like I'm failing. I'm going to serve God whether everybody around me is doing it or nobody around me is doing it. And when you settle that in your heart, then you know, you are protected and helped because you have a code of honor and the strength to do that. Listen, just get that young. Get it in your heart. Too many of our ladies are getting talked out of things that they said they believed for 20, 25, 30, 40 years, and now all of a sudden people are talking them out of it. I don't know what's going on. Virtuous woman is wise and kind with her words. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her words are both wise and kind, wise and kind, wise and kind. Well, what a testimony. And that'd be a good test before you say something. Is this wise and is this kind? Wisdom anoints her words. Remember it said about the strange woman? She's loud. And I talked about that volcanic unrest in her heart and bitterness and ungodliness and how it spews forth nonsense. You don't find this in the virtuous woman. You know why? Because she has the strength to live by a code of honor. Wisdom anoints her words. A godly lady passes laws concerning the use of her tongue. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She passes laws concerning the use of her tongue. She passes laws concerning the use of her tongue. She remains silent if what she is tempted to say is unwise or unkind. With God's help, she learns to bridle her tongue, and by doing so, she achieves Christian maturity and self-discipline. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, mature, and able also to bridle the whole body, self-discipline, character. If you can whip this thing with God's help, you know what? Most everything else in your life will be easy. The virtuous woman is wise and kind with her words. Boy, let's pass a law here. Let's just do that for 6 months at Blessed Hope Baptist. You know how much stupid I wouldn't have to deal with? If we just pass that law for 6 months here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let's make it the death penalty. We'll just go ahead and do that. Of course, you know, everybody will be dead, including the preacher probably, but because we're a mess. But if we just pass, okay, is this wise or is this kind? And if it isn't both of those things, then shut up. Don't say it. Hush your mouth. Okay? Don't have anything nice to say? Don't say anything at all. Verse 10, or number 10, the virtuous woman is dedicated to the care of her family. Amazing how much this goes back to original intent. I know we talked about the household responsibilities, but notice the tender care of her family. Verse 15, some of these verses we read. She ariseth also while it is night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household. Boy, she takes custodial care. She takes ownership. Her household are clothed with scarlet. Proverbs 31, verse 27, 28. She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he prays. What a bunch of lucky kids and what a lucky guy. I mean it. They are blessed. The success of her husband and the care of her children are priority one. Godly lady manages well the home, seeing to it that the needs of her family come first. You notice, young people, let me just see if I can clue you in on something. Okay, when there's four pieces of cake left and there's five of you and your family, it doesn't mean, you know, just because she says she's not hungry doesn't mean mama's not ever hungry. Are you remembering that? Come on, some of us that are older remember that. Isn't it amazing how mama always was full? There's just enough for seconds for everybody but one. Mama was always full. Okay, compare that to this selfish generation that'll kill somebody for seconds. You know, what? But isn't that interesting? No, go ahead. Oh, mom, no, okay. You know, we didn't usually fight much with her about it. But we rise up and call her blessed today. rise up and call her blessed, okay? Virtuous woman fears the Lord. Number 11, fears the Lord. Favor is deceitful. Verse 30, beauty is vain. In other words, it's saying, hey, kiddos, don't, you know, listen, I want you to take care of yourself. I don't blame you for frilling up a little bit, but don't think that that's the most important thing. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I like this little statement. Femininity lives in awe of God. Femininity lives in awe of God. True Christian lady wishes to reflect in her life His holiness, His righteousness. Her reverential respect of God allows her to grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It shields her from foolishness. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so she fears God. I heard a man say this about her husband. Or I'm sorry, a man said, wow. But I heard a man say this about his wife the other day. He said something about, you know what, she fears the Lord, preacher. She fears the Lord too much to do something like that. And I thought, what a wonderful thing for a husband to be able to confidently say about his wife. He said, she fears the Lord too much to do that. Praise God. Favor's deceitful. Beauty's vain. It's just a passing thing. A woman that fears the Lord, she'll be praised. Number 12, the last one, the virtuous woman will be honored and blessed. The virtuous woman will be honored and blessed. Her children rise up, verse 28, and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so what she's accomplished in her life will turn and praise her. Her husband that she's helped so much will praise her. Children will look back and praise her. And there's a payday. The world may never understand, and the culture will shake its head in disapproval about these tenets that we've talked about, but God sees and blesses the lady who chooses virtue. Her husband will praise her. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. In the end, to gain the approval of God is far better than the applause of a corrupt world. How about it, young lady? Do you want your life to really mean something? Choose, watch this, rubies over rubbish. Choose rubies over rubbish. Choose to be a virtuous lady. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, would ask, Lord, that you help us, dear God, to take these things into great consideration. And, Lord, I pray that every young lady would aspire to these things. And, dear God, this is a wonderful list, and it presents challenges, and it requires some work and discipline, and nobody does everything perfect, but Lord, I pray that our young ladies would aspire to this. Help us again, dear God, to use this lesson coupled with what we heard last Sunday, and Lord, help us just to hit some reset buttons in our life about what's truly important in this world, and to help our ladies. They're under a barrage of attacks and pressure, and it seems like, Lord, it's just tough. But Lord, I pray that they would develop from the Scriptures, the Word of God, a code of honor that they would choose to live by and be faithful to. No matter what the world does, no matter what everybody else around them does, may they learn to be that faithful, virtuous woman. Lord, bless, we pray. In Jesus' name.